Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I was talking about the uplifting contest that we had for students. The theme was controlling anger. And by coincidence, this morning, I'm again recording this program on Wednesday the 14th. On Wednesday the 15th, this morning there was an article, Expuesta a la Violencia Escolar en Redes, violence in the media is exposed, and it's a school in Vega Baja, and different videos, they're not even sure what years they were put together on bullying, appeared in a particular platform. Relating to the school, because you could see in the videos the particular school it was clear, and these came out from the 9th and the 10th of March, and the hullabaloo was that nobody really went to the Arecibo Regional Education Department or to the educational at the headquarter levels. And what the article describes how prevalent and difficult this is, but that a lot of things are happening, good things are happening to reduce it, according to the person in charge of security, safety, for that particular region of Arecibo. His name is Cesar Gonzalez Cordero. They now have security guards at all the schools, all 856 schools, and there's now a lot more psychologists and social workers and all working, helping, dealing with emotions and substance abuse and bullying. And then there's this, he describes a Proyecto de Seguridad y Educación para el Desarrollo de la Niñez, a project, safety and an education project for child development, a combination of the family, Department of the Family, the AMSCA, the Health and Substance Abuse Administration, and so they're working on it and having success, and things have been reduced, so that good thing. I relating to that and another Rotary activity, the second Tuesday of each month at San Juan Rotary, we have an activity that is more social and go to the home or the business of a member. And this, we went to Atlantic University. It's kind of a nonprofit co-founded by Ramon Barquín, member of San Juan Rotary. He's also the president of the Detallista, the Detallistas Unidos, and had the presentation of what Atlantic University does, is involved in most cybersecurity and filming and sound production and 3D printing, and all creative, highly technological, creative educational experiences for the students. About 1,200 more or less is the enrollment, and it's in the middle of the center of Guaynabo, its buildings, Ramon's wife was the host, because Ramon was in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and gave us a great presentation on what the school is doing and its achievements and some of its challenges going forward. And so let's see if San Juan Rotary what we can work on, It occurred to me to see how Atlantic University can get involved with this student video contest. In fact, I threw out as bullying as being the possible new theme. We'll see where the different people involved in this like that. But I was thinking something like acortar el acoso, reduce a bullying. Would be the translation. and see what let's see what happens. I also threw out the possibility because they're doing a collaboration with the Foundation of Puerto Rico, the foundation that John Borsho started, and they're working on tourism in the eastern portion, and I've always been pushing to see how we can develop better the panoramic route that goes all the way from Yabucoa, Maunabo to Mayagüez, all the way through the Central Mountain municipalities. So I threw those two things out to see if we can do it. Let's see. That's the Rotary violence and what's happened in the last few days, reflecting on them. There was an article, changing topics. There was an article that came out April 10th, and when I have these are from the Apple News, and then I pass them on to my computer, my email things. Before the program, the day before, so I go and see if any of these articles on a second reading, are relevant or worth. Sometimes when you read it, it's like, that's fantastic, but then it doesn't jibe with the kinds of things that you've been talking about, and there's no synchronization with other things. But this particular article I found interesting and worth reflecting on, and the title is. It's by Barry Hoffner, Hoffner, as I said, April 10, and it's a People magazine. And the title is, I Went to Iran After My Wife Died. What I Discovered There Shocked Me. And the article describes that his wife, he always wanted to go to Iran, but they never were able to make it, even when they were in Armenia and it was kind of nearby. He doesn't say how, but she passed away, and she had had a very, very good friend from a Persian friend. They became very close, and really, it was one part of the reasons why they wanted to visit Iran. So he basically says that with his wife's death, he started doing a lot of traveling and just didn't want to be at home. It just had tough memories staying at home, and one of the places he went is to Iran, and this is 2017, and what he describes is he went to the different cities similar to the trip that my wife and I undertook in 2013. He went to Tehran and Isfahan and Shahrouz and all. And what he points out is how friendly the Iranians were in every place he went, and how the people there were doing the same things that everybody does all over the world. Young kids, kissing, kind of in hidden, and violating the... as I said, a scene that I saw from the bus, enjoying life and being very, very courteous and friendly to him, and basically his thing, now with the bombing and all, he's saying it's kind of tough, when you know. That it's dealing with people who suffering that are just normal human beings undertaking their day to day working, enjoying their family, initial loving among young couples, etc. It's tough, and it kind of jives with what I said. There's a couple of things on our trip to Iran that I forgot that it was that are interesting, and it had some continuation. One thing in Iran that's really strict is they do not permit alcohol. And that's across the, you know, there isn't like Cuba where in the hotels for tourism is a different world, and for the government it's a different world. This is across the board in all public restaurants, hotels, everywhere. There's no alcohol whatsoever, and no, you know, and the stores, there's just no alcohol, period. And so what we had to do, I mean, who like beer and wine, we just tried the non-alcoholic beers, and there were international you know, alcoholic beers, non-alcoholic beers throughout Iran, and I probably tried, my guess is, you know, 15 of them, and some were awful, some were pretty good, and some were great, as you would imagine. And I've been drinking non-alcoholic beer, you know, since then, to a great extent, as one of the tricks to reducing alcohol, and one of the tricks for the Lenten, you know, sacrifice of not having any alcohol. So that was the other thing that came to mind is that, you know, although people are friendly and you know, like given stories of, you know, paying for a ice cream by a complete stranger, and wherever you go, you know, to have tea, you know, and all, but there is you know, it's very strict vigilance. Back in 2014, and he doesn't say it, but you know, he says his guide. You know, you have to have a guide, and you have to be careful. You know what you do and say, there's a lot of it. In fact, the bus every once in a while would be stopped, and a police person would come in, and we have to, you know, show our passports and. Look everybody over. Nothing bad, you know, ever happened, but there's a lot of vigilance and both in getting in, you know, getting the visas, and then once you're there, you have to be with guides, and you have to be you know, not walking around doing whatever you kind of freely want to do. No, that's just not the way that you don't feel any danger, you know, but you know that you have to follow the rules. A little bit like Singapore, you know, you got to follow the rules. So this article, you know, brings on a little bit more reflection on our trip to Iran and what's happening now. Now we have the another blocker blocking the blocker, you know, making even less coming through. My concern, you know, with this new blockade by the U.S. of Iran ships or ships coming out of Iran is, from the very beginning, my concern is how much China is going to get into this, and North Korea and Russia. You know, they have been clearly supporting Iran, a little bit standoffish, but 90% of the Iranian oil goes to China. And and China came out pretty strongly against this blockade, so my initial concern is growing. Let's see what happens. Articles keep on coming out on the petrol dollar versus the petrol yuan, and that this is a fight for dominance of not only oil, but of the dollar, dollarization. You know, that's what's used for the purchase of oil and the dominance really of as the currency of the world, and that's in play. So articles keep on coming as to whether this is going to be successful, whether this was the principal reason. As I said, José González Freire brought that particular topic to my attention. I sent him the different articles I read on the topic. Most of them kind of say that they think the petrodollar is going to survive, but some you know are wondering whether this is the best way to go about it and whether there are risks. I think, very humbly and without much information, all of this, that I think there it's going to do more harm than good. The deficit growing, the instability, the lack of alliances. I don't see it being good, but that's personal opinion. It could be completely wrong. The next trip I'm going to be taking, just tied it down this weekend. We had talked to when I went visited my son and his wife in the Boston area. Our oldest grandson, Rafael, is working in cybersecurity in Budapest, and I kind of thought that's one place I wanted to go for a long time. My wife and I wanted to go for a long time, and Prague. And so we talked about, go visiting Rafi in Budapest and seeing Budapest and Prague. My daughter-in-law, Glory, gave me the dates and I locked them into my calendar. And God willing, be traveling to Budapest. My wife Pinky doesn't like to travel anymore very much. She'd rather stay in Calle and with her pets and the birds and all. The 98% I'm going to be going with my son and daughter, my daughter-in-law, and to this thing. Of course, there's a change in regime in Budapest, which makes the trip even more popular, because I did not like the prior prime minister. At least the change in regime in Iran hasn't happened, but the change in regime in Budapest and Hungary has happened. So things are not going good for the administration in terms of regime change. In Venezuela, we got rid of Maduro, but there really hasn't been a regime change. Trying to get a regime change in Cuba with a blockade, getting stricter blockade and all. Don't see that. That happening very easily either. That's what. But anyway, the next trip is and looking forward to that trip in Budapest. And when we come back after the pause, I want to just say a couple of reflections on blockades and some strategies that go on and on and on for years and years and years and just nothing really effective and positive happens with them, and yet we don't give up on these policies. So we'll be back after the pause. Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.